Pound Town Podcast. Will Burge, Brian Kenny. Clock is in the building. Nick is here. Hi, Nick.
Woo. Hey, guys.
So I promised Nick earlier in the week that we would have Bernie Kosar on the podcast.
Yep.
Bernie Kosar is not going to be on the podcast.
No. So you get me.
He also called you gay.
He
turned us down, I was like, "Kid, Nick's gay."
Yeah, if he's there, I'm out.
But he wasn't judgmental. He was just like, "I hope you. I don't know if you know this, but he's gay."
Well, I'm out. Oh, thank you, Bernie. Don't tell my wife.
No worries.
I just saw a huge thread. By the way, presented by Barstool Sports.
we're getting better at that.
We're powered by Movo Photo and Live Mixtapes. And give me something else random. We're powered by.
Bush's baked beans.
Bush's baked beans. I feel like this couch got moved some.
I probably moved it
a little farther.
Why don't
away.
We get up and like move it a little forward?
All right.
Did it move?
Okay. I think you're way in the background of this video here. Hold on. Leave it all on pod. I think that's good right there.
Okay.
All on the pod. Presented by Bush's baked beans. the musical fruit. We were supposed to have Bernie Kosar tonight. Well, yeah. Not supposed to. We could have probably had Bernie Kosar. Then he launched his own podcast.
I saw that.
And he said, fuck us. But Clock did tell me that in his promo for his podcast, it was like a screen recording. And at one point, it flips to the side. Is that true?
It was a screen recording, and it was going well. It was all straight and angled. I'm watching it. And all of a sudden, it like flips to where the camera flips, like the screen. Then it goes right back. So I was like, I think he posted that one.
Yeah, 100% he did. Shout out to Bernie posting his own shit. That's good for him. We're going to have some fun tonight, boys. It's week number one in the NFL season. We talked a little bit about it before, but it's week fucking one.
We teased it.
We teased it a little bit.
We teased the nips.
Tonight, Thursday night football. I just placed the bet right before we got on here. We're all talking fantasy football lineup. So we jacked up tonight because I said I wasn't jacked. I caught the fever.
And this game, I feel like it has such potential.
Oh, yeah.
It could really be one of those classic shootouts like that Mahomes versus Jared Goff's Rams that one year when they were just unstoppable.
That was a great game. Two of my buddies bet the under, and it was what tied for the highest scoring game of all time.
Ever. It was.
We didn't stop talking about it in our betting group's text for 6 months. Like, maybe you should bet the under in this one.
Yeah. No. I'm fucking amped.
Who's everybody taking tonight? How do you feel?
I'm going to go Buffalo. I just feel, just strictly based off of L.A. winning a Super Bowl, there's got to be at least a bit of a hangover.
I took the Rams, actually. So
I got the Bills.
The Bills?
For sure.
Nick, who are you taking?
Buffalo with the spread, and then Josh Allen over 37.5 rushing yards.
I like that.
There you go.
That's a good bet.
I parlayed. I took the straight points, and then I did a separate one with the points, and I parlayed it with Gabriel Davis' first touchdown.
Yeah, I got Gabe Davis' first touchdown, too.
It's like plus 3,200. It's like the dumbest bet ever. There's just basically lighting $15 on fire. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, I hope that first touchdown hits. I feel like, you know, last time I bet it was liable to happen.
Yeah, last time I bet it was OBJ, so yeah, I feel good about it now. Yeah. Look at us talking football, betting on football.
It's back.
Look at us. Look at us go. I feel great. Nick, you do me a favor. Click that AC down two notches. Yep. We need it at 69. That's where it needs to be.
Nice.
He's got his Barstool Cleveland t-shirt on. We have a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to go over every angle of not only the Browns game this week. We touched on some of the Browns season, but I do feel like there's more that we need to touch on. Because today I wrote out, and I don't know, we'll see if it gets fucking posted, but I wrote out a full Browns season preview. And there's a kind of a column in the beginning that Browns fans deserve better, which I think no matter where you stand on anything that's going on, we all think we deserve better than this. And then it goes into some of the things that need to happen for the Browns season to be successful. What could possibly go wrong? What to expect from Jacoby Brissett? We're going to go into some of that stuff. But I really want to dive into week number one tonight as well. Before we go into any of that, though, I got to give a shout out. One of my best friends, guy you know, I think you know him too, Nick, Chris Funder, had his first baby. Shout out to the boss. Little baby panda.
So did my Sarah's sister.
You're an uncle.
My brother-in-law. I'm an uncle for the first time.
Oh, fucking cheers, man.
Thank you. Thank
you. Wasn't he drafting during the birth?
He was. Like, as his wife was in labor, he was drafting our fantasy team.
That's fucking awesome.
The baby wasn't born for another fucking 12 hours or so. It
doesn't matter. That's a story you can tell.
It's football season.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I drafted during the birth because I'm that fucking bout about it.
As was my father-in-law, who was about to be a first-time grandfather. Everybody was drafting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you guys doing? I'm trying to figure out the best available wide receiver. Thank you very much. And who's going to get the targets? That's what I need to know.
Right.
It's not like he was sitting there just not talking to anybody. He was active in the chat, too, just like talking. He was active.
Nothing more important going on. That's awesome. What's his name?
My brother-in-law? Yeah. Jack.
Jack. Shout out to Jack. Cheers to Jack.
Cheers to Jack.
By the way, we found the closest place to get drinks, which was, what was it called?
Something beverage.
It's food and beverage.
Food and beverage.
Yeah. It's right by CSU.
That is one generic ass name.
Yeah.
Very generic store.
Food and beverage.
They had quite the selection, but they didn't have any gluten free beer.
Motherfuckers. Sadly. Nobody does.
No one does. Well, where did we go first?
We went to the best part about that. What was it, just an Asian supermarket?
It was an Asian town. It was a supermarket. It had an American name.
But it was like Stop and Go or something.
Yeah.
It was a full supermarket.
Nope.
Straight, it wasn't like number Asian, one Asian stew supermarket or anything like that.
Hanging dried fish smelled delicious. Did not smell delicious. No. It did not smell delicious. There was an eclectic group of people shopping in there. No alcohol. At least not that we could tell. We couldn't read any labels. Yeah.
You could find some.
I was hoping to be sake. I would totally drink sake for week one.
What was it? Sapporo or something like that?
It's something like that.
Sapporo?
Sapporo. There you go. Sapporo. Okay. Yeah. Which is like their Bud Light.
It's a cool looking beer. I've never had it.
It's like a Bud Light.
It looks cool though.
Yeah, it is good. Next time you go to the, you're at a sake bomb?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sake bombs are delicious. Sapporo usually is like the beer that they will serve you. I like my sake a little milkier. Pause.
Mm. Gross.
It's delicious. It's rice wine. It should be milky. It's white rice.
But also wine,
yes. But milky.
Excuse me. I like a dry rice wine. You like a dry sake.
I'm more of a Chardonnay rice guy myself.
So dry that it's just rice.
I feel like I'm delaying the inevitable. Let's jump right in. Browns start on Sunday. Tonight's Thursday Night Football. We give a little preview of what we think of tonight, but that doesn't matter because by the time you listen to this, the game's going to be fucking over. You're going to be hyped on what happened to that. We don't know yet. So why don't we fast forward to Sunday? Browns at Carolina. This has turned into, while everybody's trying to push it as being the grudge game, in the last couple of days, I felt like it actually became the grudge game. The Browns started speaking out a little bit more about how they feel about everything. You're getting some players talking a little bit more about Baker Mayfield. Who was it that said the line about it's Baker, so we don't know what to, Nick Chubb. So we don't know what to expect, right? But I also heard on the radio today, and I completely agree with it, someone asked Ken Carman, like, who's the first person you bet that would walk out and hug Baker Mayfield before the game? I bet you that's Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
I think so, too. But it is, I mean, when they get on that field, they're going to try to beat his ass, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
And he wants to destroy them.
Like, Baker was always Nick Chubb's biggest cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Like going nuts about his contract, going nuts about any of his longer runs. Like, you could see that on the sideline, and anytime he was mic'd up, he was just always going over crazy about Nick Chubb.
Yeah, he still spoke him up when he left. He had that little quote about him.
And I feel like they had you should have a good relationship with your top three back in the league if you're a quarterback. You know? I think today Myles Garrett said his relationship with Baker Mayfield was complicated, right? I think that was the quote. Mm-hmm. It was complicated. Mm-hmm. Didn't say anything really necessarily negative towards Baker, but you could always kind of tell that in the media, right? They weren't buddy-buddy. There was a whole lot of, like, I don't want to say leaks, but there was rumors and stuff about the fact they just weren't very close. And if you look at their personalities, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Baker's brash. He's outspoken. He's going to wear his sleeve on his shoulder. He's an emotional guy. Myles Garrett wears tight shirts and likes sleeve on his shoulder. That's not it.
No, that is, in fact, where a sleeve belongs. Right on the shoulder.
Hard on his sleeve.
Well, yeah. Myles Garrett doesn't wear sleeves half the time, so technically I was right.
Well, technically you're wrong, because then he doesn't wear his sleeves on his shoulders.
Wait, did I say Myles? I meant Baker wears his sleeves on his shoulder. Myles Garrett doesn't wear sleeves. That's what I was going for.
Well, he doesn't know. Because
that makes sense. It's not the same, but I like it.
It's not the same, yeah.
He gets tested for PEDs every time he doesn't.
Every time, yeah.
So.
That's true.
It makes sense.
Either way, I felt like they didn't have the most warm relationship. They were the leaders of this team, quote unquote, a team that really underachieved quite a bit. So who has the edge, Brian? I'm going to go straight into it. Who has the edge between those two players? Myles knowing Baker and his tendencies, Baker knowing the defense and their tendencies. Who has the edge in this game?
I don't think that knowing any tendencies is really going to help Myles. Myles is just going to go 100 miles per hour as a defensive end. Aside from, like, knowing your tackle tendencies, You're not
the rookie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like
they're gonna. Yeah.
That's the only time I think that a defensive end is really gonna get any sort of advantage over tendencies. I don't know if Baker is gonna really. I think Baker's gonna be Baker. I don't think the tendencies are really gonna affect him.
I do feel like the tendencies thing might. The only way it'll affect that relationship, it was a kind of a setup question, obviously.
Yeah.
Is that I think it could negatively, if anyway, it'd be negatively affecting towards Baker because Baker could feel overconfident. He could feel emotional. He could bring that stuff onto the field. I mean, we've seen him, the shirts and, you know, the I'm going to fuck them up thing, whether he said it or not, whatever. Those tend to be the precursors to poor Baker Mayfield performances. I mean, we've seen that a lot here in Cleveland. You know 100%. What I mean? I mean, how many times do we see him talk a bunch of shit before a game, have those type of things come out, and then ball out? It usually isn't that way. Usually it's the opposite. People were shitting on Baker. He's the underdog. They think he's buried, and then he balls out. Mm-hmm. So I'll be very interested to see if he can stand up and actually hold up his end of the bargain in this one because, I mean, those shirts are terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
They're awful. You couldn't come up with better
those
shirts.
Those are really stupid shirts.
They're so bad. They're at a company that admittedly sells some bad shirts. We sell some bad shirts. And like, you know, and some of them are so bad and that's the reason you want to buy them because they're so dumb. The Mets one comes to mind. Oh, Buck, I'm going to make them believe. You know what I mean? Which is like the porn one with the Mets hat. It's a terrible shirt, but it's hilarious because it's terrible.
My first thought with the shirt was it looks like a shitty bar crawl shirt that just has all the sponsors on it. Like it's all over the place.
It's so busy.
You don't know which words are going where, and it's a caricature of Baker. Like that's stupid. It
fucking sucks.
Subliminal. I don't think he knows what subliminal means because all the messages are directly on the shirt.
Right there, like a billboard.
Subliminal is like when they sneak a penis secretly into a Disney movie or like
they
you
speak
know,
under a recording where like you can't even hear it with your conscious brain but it's reaching your subconscious
or it's like one frame in a movie you could never spot with your eye and it's just a can of Coca-Cola and I was like man I want Coca-Cola no that shit just says off the leash Baker versus Cleveland. Like, it's not very subliminal.
It's more straightforward.
I hate my old team. I'm gonna do great.
Do you think it was a smart move by him? I mean I don't know if it was a terrible move but I do feel like him going there, I was always like, man, maybe he learned something. Maybe he's going to grow a little bit. This feels like a continuation of a lot of the bad weeks we
saw.
Knew
it wasn't going to stop.
Yeah. I don't think it's a good move at all. I think it's really stupid. I think that he really doesn't seem to have learned lessons. I still think that he just feels as if like, well, I got fucked over. There's no need to change anything. I was hurt. Why would I change anything? I'm still great. I think that's what's going on in his head.
Definitely.
But isn't that's the good and the bad of Baker, right? He never stops believing he's great, which is why when he's buried and everybody's counting him out, he can have a huge fucking game. He can carry a team to a victory. I think it might have been Ben Axelrod the other day tweeted, I've never seen a quarterback who has higher highs and lower lows, and then they all just average out to an average quarterback. Because how many times has Baker Mayfield played average? And I sat there and thought about it. I'm like, I can't even remember a single game where you were like, oh, he was fine.
Even like the 2020 year, like there was a lot of lows in that year when we went, what was it, 11, 10 games that we won? There was a lot of lows
but
in that year,
too, crazy
but the highs
high.
Were crazy. Yeah,
it is a...
think about that Tennessee game.
You're right, though. That the playoff game was...
Yeah, always, like people on the radio constantly are, well, he won us a playoff game.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't. The defense did because of that unbelievable start, and then they almost let him back, they almost let Big Ben back in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then... Baker just did super average that entire game. There was no huge
he didn't play
plays
out of
that
his
he
mind.
Made. There was the obviously the highs are versus the Bengals. Every time he plays the Bengals or Tennessee, like you said,
that was a great game.
Other than that, average. Now when I think of lows, think of that Lions game that we won. That was should not have been a win.
Yeah,
Packers. You know, I was at Packers that game. That was horrible.
The Vikings game, like all those Vikings games were so bad. Yeah. But
it is unfortunate. I'll tell you what, though, leading up to it, the same reason I was like, man, I don't think I'm very hyped on this, just feels a little weird and dirty. I fucking love it now. The tables have turned in the last 24 hours for me. And now I'm like hyped to go to Carolina and see people in Baker jerseys. And like, I don't know. I just think this is what sports is about, right? You're supposed to have a rival, perceived or real. And this could be the beginning of something very cool. You know, I don't know how much they're ever going
to
play.
I can't wait for him to get on the field, see him for the first time against us, and him to start forcing throws. It's going to happen. It's all going to be in his head.
What do you think the game script's going to be like for them? If you're Matt Rhule, who's the offensive coordinator there? I don't even know.
Just Matt Rule calls.
I think it's Rule.
Let's just say it's whatever, whoever it is on his staff. It might be Matt Rule, actually.
I think he calls the plays, but there's always a coordinator too.
Yeah, whatever. So whatever the play calling is going to be on there, Brian. What would be your game script for Baker Mayfield? So they've done their research. Matt Rule is an in-your-face guy. He wants a rah-rah guy. That's why they kind of swept Sam Darnold away. But you also know what history has held with that. Do you just let him go out there and start slinging it, or are you going to feed newly on the injury report Christian McCaffrey and try to dink and dunk and play action pass?
Supposedly the injury report is he got cut by a cleat.
Yeah,
so it's nothing like crazy. I absolutely would feed Christian McCaffrey, although I'm super curious to see if Baker can successfully do that, because his big thing was a lack of touch. It was a very Brett Favre kind of thing that he had going on. But like, if I were them, I'd be doing as many RPOs as I could, doing as much play action as I could, like as much as possible, because that's where Baker does shine. He is a system quarterback, but honestly, there's nothing wrong with that.
But he's probably one of the best system quarterbacks you could have. Right, he's not I would never call Baker Mayfield a game manager. I never say you put him in a system and he's just, I mean, he is electric in the right system with the right people around him, with everything going the right way. You know, I think people here, and we talked about it in the last podcast, like people want to believe that he sucked. He did not suck. We just named off a bunch of games where he was a monster in those games.
Yes.
The problem is when things go wrong, he tends to force throws, and people call it Brett Favre, but Brett Favre had a way longer leash, had a way better career, and was really, really fucking good. I mean, it remains to be seen whether or not Baker Mayfield does that.
Career leader in interceptions.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you in that I would set this game up with Christian McCaffrey. If I'm game planning against the Browns, I'm setting up with Christian McCaffrey. I'm actually running more inside than I am out, just because I think the Browns have the speed to the sidelines less than they do to be able to stop the run up the middle.
We have no middle.
Yeah, like exactly.
Defensive tackles are trash.
A little counterintuitive to what you usually do with Christian McCaffrey, but right, that would be against what they would possibly be game planning for. And then you let him throw it over the top. Because if anything, Denzel Ward, who is a great corner, Greg Newsom, who is a great corner, Grant Delpit, who seems to be a very good safety, they are prone to letting up a big play here and there. They shut down a lot of plays in a row, but they'll let up a big one.
Say what you want about Baker. Baker has a big ass arm.
Yeah, he does.
Baker has the furthest thrown football since they started tracking that in an NFL game.
I think though the weather is going to change everything. Like they're saying it's 80% chance of thunderstorms, which for like me wanting Baker to kind of fail against us kind of hurts, because I think they're just going to dump it off to Christian McCaffrey. It's going to be bad weather. I wish it was sunny, because then you'd see Baker try to make those throws and you'd see him. But I also think the biggest matchup is going to be JOK versus Christian McCaffrey. Like if he can somehow contain him, containing Christian McCaffrey's hard, that's the biggest matchup, because he's going to try to run around the edge, and that's the only person we have to stop him.
And like I said, I think that's a strength to the Browns defense. I do think they're fast enough at the sidelines where they are going to be able to contain anything to the outside, at least relatively enough to try to force punts. Mm-hmm. Man, if they just bullied up and went straight up the middle on the Browns, I think that would be a gut check very early in the season. I don't know if they're up for that type of test right out of the gate.
Jordan Elliott's going to be a real key player, because he was the guy that shined in camp. They're counting on him and Taven Bryant, of all fucking people. Former first-round pick Taven Bryant.
Yeah, he's listed first on a depth chart, right?
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
He was a failure in Jacksonville, so we'll see what happens here. But up the middle, they're weak. They're linebackers and their defensive tackles. We talked about it quite a bit. They're just middle of the pack at the very best, other than JOK.
I mean, if you just ran strong to the opposite side of where your rookie tackle is, because they're probably going to line, well, I don't say most of the time, but they're going to try to line Miles up there as much as possible. But even Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a problem against that kid. If you just ran power to the other side, it feels like that is an advantage to Carolina in this game. You know what I mean? Just keep running power, keep running power. I don't know. I guess I'll believe that the Browns can stop that type of running game when I see it. Because if they can stop that, shit, they might be a top three defense in the NFL. But that is the thing that I'm scared of.
If you're going to go outside the tackle, don't go at Clowney. Clowney's a better run stuffer than Miles. Yeah. Miles gets a little bit too aggressive at times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he gets way upfield. By the way, can we stop for 1 second and just admire how fucking we're just breaking a game down.
We're all pros.
All right, somebody crack a joke. Give me one. Your best joke you got right now. Knock, knock joke, if anybody's got one.
Clock?
Nothing.
You know I don't do jokes. I don't do street jokes.
All my jokes are long stories.
Yeah. Well, fuck then.
I don't know.
Oh, I got one that I used to use this one on Tinder a bunch.
So love that.
Perfect.
What do you call Neil deGrasse Tyson pouring champagne all over his naked chest?
That was your opener?
Yeah.
Chris Bosch?
And astrophizzy tits.
That's good. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Look at Von Miller coming in no undershirt.
That's a crazy matchup, too. You got a guy who just won the Super Bowl going against his former team, first game of the year.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He has such a Lawrence Taylor-esque first step, or at least he did. Like, that guy off the line is something different.
And he loves Molly.
That Denver defense was so crazy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he loves Molly.
Does he?
Well, I don't know. He got suspended for it. I'm just assuming.
Oh, he did?
He's walking in with no shirt on.
He got suspended for it, and he's walking with no shirt on.
He clearly loves Molly.
He clearly loves Molly.
And look at his pupils after the game. The guy's rolling his dick off.
That'd be amazing to play a game of football on Molly.
Every time you're in the pile, like, why does he keep rubbing my ass?
He seeks out the contact because it feels great.
So a question for the Browns game. Do you think that our DBs are going to be a little too aggressive jumping at Baker because they want to pick him off? Like, do you think they're going to try to jump routes to get ahead of it and then he can have a chance to go
over
top?
That's a great question.
I kind of see that happening.
That is a good question.
Because you know Denzel Ward and Newsom are going to want to pick off Baker.
They're aggressive already.
They are very aggressive. For sure.
And that's what separates Denzel from like all pro kind of accolades is just, he doesn't have the picks.
Yeah.
His actual, I mean, there's been a couple times where he's had some different, like, goddamn dude, kind of fuck ups in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Just one off the top of my head, him getting shook by Travis Kelce was kind of embarrassing. Like, Travis Kelce is like 100 pounds more than you.
Yeah.
Can't get
shook
like that.
And he's not the
greatest
route runner. He's just big.
He's
just a big body. Yeah.
So Denzel still has his fuck ups, but for the most part, he is on guys. They don't have him shadow, which I would love to see, but picks, like actual, like they're putting Trevon Diggs. You saw the top 100 players. He was like number 20 something. He was ahead of Nick Chubb.
He's so bad in coverage.
10 picks gets you a lot.
His percentage for like throw rate, like they were throwing at him so crazy, which is why he got a lot of picks.
Most yards.
Yeah.
Well, and that plays into it, right? Like if you are known as a great coverage guy, they're not going to throw at you a lot.
Nah.
Even if you're left on an island, which Denzel is a ton, this is. The thing about this defense, though, is they don't blitz much. Like Woods does not blitz, so you don't really know where the help's ever going to be. It's not like they're going to blitz 30% of the time, so you know 3 out of 7 plays, you can go up over the top either side, and you're going to have one-on-one coverage. You never know where the help's going to be in this defense. And the safeties for, you know, as much as I want to believe Delpit's going to be great, I still think there's a ton to prove as far as the safeties go.
Sure.
And hopefully they do prove it this year. But you're not scared of them. You know what I mean? It's not like that's a group that you're, man, if they rolled the coverage that way, I got to stay away from them. You're still probably going to throw over there if you feel like you got the matchup. So I don't know, man. I think it's going to be fun. I think your question is interesting too, though, because they're young still. Like they're known now as, like, Denzel's a veteran, but he's young. What is he, 25, 26, somewhere in there probably?
25, I think.
He's 25,
same draft as Baker.
Yeah, he's still young. Like, is he going to be hyped up on this? And
I'm sure the whole defense is probably going to get anxious to try to make a play on Baker. It probably goes for everyone.
Do you think Miles is going to be over-aggressive and that'll fuck us on the run game if they do run at him? Like you said, don't run at Clowney because he's a better run stopper. And Miles sometimes just tries to go too far out to get the edge and they might be able to run right past
them. They're trying to make
that
play to talk about.
Think of that Jets game we lost. The last Jets game we played them. All they did was run it to the left.
Yep.
I do think you were underestimating when you said like a lot, like all the time. He overruns constantly.
A lot.
Which, you know, that's what you get with that guy.
That's why a lot of people think TJ Watt's better because...
Yeah, he still plays the run better than
he gets
him,
coverage
for sure,
sacks a lot more than he gets rushing sacks like Miles does. That's why TJ Watt's sack numbers are so high.
Yep.
But he also goes against the right side, not the left side.
And TJ Watt's supporting cast is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, that Steelers defense.
Cam Hayward is really good.
That's why I think the Steelers might go for 500 again.
Can we jump over to, real quick, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, to our prediction graphic that we put out today?
A lot of interactions on that.
There was a lot of interactions. Clock, can you pull that up for us?
Mm.
We put out a prediction graphic today. We all wanted to, well, first of all, great idea, Nick.
Thank you.
You thought that people want to know what we think, which I don't understand why, but the download numbers keep reflecting it. So people do want to know what we think. So we put some predictions out there. And, so it was Nick, Clock, Brian, myself, and, our analytics guy, Felix.
Over there.
Yep.
Felix.
Well, hopefully we're going to try to get him on camera tonight. He's an analytics guy. He's a nerd.
He's a weird guy.
He is a weird guy. And he had some weird picks.
Yeah.
We'll get to those. So we put the graphic out. Let's go through those picks real quick. Where do you want to start?
Just go from top to bottom.
Right. Will had the Chargers, Packers, Chargers winning it all.
Can I just say there, and I know some people were questioning me, and I also kind of want to cut my wrist because I agree with Stephen Shea on this. I actually think the Chargers are being completely underrated this season.
Really?
They're really good.
I mean,
they are really fucking good. They added to their defense.
Me and Clark were talking about that.
Marcus Spears had them winning the Super Bowl.
Over the Saints.
That makes you feel a little bit better.
Saints is wild.
I think they're going
to be good, but I don't
think they're going to be good. First year head coach, man, Sean Payton's gone. Yeah.
But back to the Chargers, like you said, they added on defense. Adding J.C. Jackson and Khalil Mack is just... Derwin James and Bosa. Like,
if Mack can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%. I mean, but isn't that the caveat with every team?
But he's a specifically injury-prone guy the past couple years.
Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people blew up about that Bears trade, but the Bears got so much out of a Khalil Mack right now for that trade that I think they had to do it. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. And they're just tearing it all down. And they have a healthy Eckler out there. The Chargers do.
They're nice. And which Herbert, another year.
Yeah, and Eckler tends to be also injured. Another guy you're like, man, if he can stay on the field the whole year, he's a fucking animal. So anyway, sorry. Chargers win the Super Bowl.
Yep. Your MVP is Aaron Rodgers.
That was just kind of by de facto. I feel like if the Packers get there, he's got to be the MVP.
That's three in a row.
Yeah, which I feel, here's the thing about MVP too. It's a lot of storylines. I feel like that's a storyline that would get pushed if they make a deep run in the playoffs. Make sense?
Especially
with no targets.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, the offense that was
doing. I'm also banking on these rookies. I think they're going to be good. Like, I think Watson and Dobbs are going to be
And Dobbs are sitting on most of my fantasy benches.
Yeah. Yep.
AFC North winner, Ravens, and then the Browns record 10-7.
It's a little optimistic, I'm not going to lie. But as I wrote in my blog that hopefully comes out by the time you listen to this podcast, I do think it's doable. We'll get to the record. I think it's doable. You see
my record prediction. Yep,
I know. All right.
we saw all of your predictions.
Yeah, everyone saw those.
They were rocking with me.
Besides Felix, you were criticized the most.
Sorry. Right,
what's Brian got?
Brian, you got the Bucks and the Bills in the Super Bowl with the Bucks winning it all.
Tom Brady, if this is his last hurrah, you don't think that man is going to do something ridiculous?
That's why I have him.
Want to talk about storylines? This guy with all this shit going on, all of his lizard person facial surgeries and off-field shit with his wife, that seems to propel him. Like, Deflategate and all that shit, he comes back. Anytime when the Patriots were being talked down to by the media, when people were saying they're done, they're not playing the same, that's when he elevated his game.
100%. I'm with you.
I actually told my son on the way home from school today, he was like, Brady's playing, right? And he's healthy. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, why is nobody talking about the Bucks? And I'm like, well, you didn't hear what just happened last week or so? I told him the whole story. He goes, it's just going to make him play better. I'm like, fuck, even kids know this.
He knows. Yeah, everyone knows.
So, yeah. Yes.
Imagine growing up in that era. My son's 13 years old. All he's known is Tom Brady.
All he's known is just greatness of
just
Tom Brady.
Just the specter hovering over the NFL, sucking the lifeblood out to make his corner of his eyes not wrinkled. That's all he does. That's all he knows.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The only thing that I disagree about that is their interior offensive line's pretty banged up too. So
yes, that is
That's
true.
A big question. And Marpet,
didn't Ali Marpet retire?
Yep.
The last 2 years he was in New England, everybody kept saying how bad the Patriots line was then too, because they were old and they were banged up, and he still kept fucking.
They just
winning.
Keep going to, he's too old to move. Well,
then what'd he do? He started throwing a Rex Burkhead all the time.
Yeah, he's going to throw for 5,000 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll figure it out. And you had MVP Josh Allen.
Yeah, I stand by that
pick right there.
He's the favorite right now, right?
Yeah,
I'd imagine. Say,
yeah, I think he's a betting favorite.
AFC North winner Ravens, Browns 9-8,
which feels. I mean, I think everybody was right around the same place, 8-11,
except for one person.
Yeah.
Hey,
who has them winning the Super Bowl?
Who's up next? Clock, go ahead with your predictions.
I had the Bucks and Browns, obviously, because of Tom Brady. Kind of what Brian said. He's just going to figure out a way. Last year, they're going to push that. Browns, I mean, hey, once we get Watson back, I think he's going to turn up and go absolutely nuts. And if we are in the playoffs, I think we can make it to the bowl, and then we're going to win. MVP, I had Jonathan Taylor.
Such a random MVP for
he should have won it last year.
Running backs,
he should have won it last year.
They never win MVP.
They never
won.
I'm pushing for a change. I think it shouldn't be a fucking quarterback every year.
I don't think Taylor should have won it last year either. I think Cooper Kupp should have won it.
Yeah, either him or Cooper Kupp.
Rodgers didn't win.
Yeah, yeah.
With you.
Either of them two. But and then the Browns, I have winning the AFC North, obviously. And them going 11-6. And I did a breakdown on that, and it's very possible. Even maybe 12 wins.
That's insane to me.
Alrighty. Well, you have very high expectations for Jacoby Brissett. We'll get to those in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Let's go to Nick's prediction. I don't want to break you down yours too much because I'm going to use that as the very next part of the conversation for records and AFC North. So,
Nick had the Eagles and Bills with the Bills winning it all.
Yeah, I want to explain the Eagles thing, man. They had a crazy offseason. Like, their defense is great. They added a lot of offense. And I think if Jalen Hurts plays decently well to very well, they have a very, very good shot. Their division is trash.
It is, yeah.
And the NFC teams, I mean, we're talking the Packers and the Bucks. They got two old quarterbacks. I know it's bad to say that against Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, but the Eagles have a really, really good team.
The two teams that everybody loves that I just don't believe in yet because I'll never believe in them until I see the quarterbacks do it is the Eagles and the 49ers.
I've always been huge on Jalen Hurts. So even when he went from Alabama to Oklahoma, I wanted him to win the Heisman like revenge so bad because they dumped him off. And I think he's a really good quarterback.
I like him a lot. I just want to see them do it at a high level first. Mm-hmm. I can't predict it. But to lend credence to your point is that the NFC is fucking wide open. Like, as Felix crunched with his numbers, like, I mean, the Panthers could go on a run and, you know what I mean? Like, you're healthy and you make the playoffs. There's only, like, four good teams. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I also just wanted to be different. I knew everyone was going to pick the Bucs or the Packers. And
that's why I picked the Chargers.
I was thinking about picking the Saints, but rookie head coach, like we were saying. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles is, I don't know. I think they're a dark horse right now.
Rookie head coach, and then we were talking about it in the group chat. You said about how amazing Jameis was. It was for like four games.
Yeah, I know, but it was
a lot of yards. He was very efficient.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think people are writing off Michael Thomas just because obviously I'm writing him off fluke injuries, but when he was healthy, he had 100. Didn't he break the record for catches? He had like 140?
I don't think he likes football.
I don't think he likes it.
He's not committed to anything like that.
But if there's a chance he is, their wide receiver room's crazy. And I don't know. Who's their tight end? I was going to ask that in the group.
Adam Trautman.
Yeah, well, never mind then. Well, I guess they got, what's his name? They got the quarterback.
Jameis don't throw. Tight end.
He also had eye surgery, and we didn't get a full season of him having LASIK yet.
Did you see him explaining the human body?
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. So funny.
Any Jameis press conference is much watch.
He is awesome.
Him dancing in the locker room even. Like, I love those videos. So, yeah, I do like Jameis.
Easily one of my favorite players of this era. He's just such a clown. But he's also good, and like if you play fantasy, he is a great fantasy player. Yeah. Like, the year that he played, it was like 3 years ago, and he literally would throw for four touchdowns and throw for three picks.
30-30.
And it was awesome because he would throw pick sixes all the time and just get his offense back on the field.
Oh, yeah.
I had him. He carried me to the championship there. It was fucking awesome.
He had so many possessions.
I did the opposite. I rode any defense playing Jameis
and that works
to the
too.
Championship because that's always what you want in fantasy. It's not that stout defense that's gonna, you know, put up just fewest points or yards. You want the pick sixes. Yep. You want whoever is gonna play who's most likely to throw a pick.
That one year, the fucking Patriots, they had like, what was it, the most defensive touchdowns in history of a defense?
They were putting up running back numbers.
Their fucking fantasy points were ridiculous.
And then our final prediction, newest addition to the team. We haven't talked about him, but he's been here a couple weeks
Nick
now.
Nick didn't do his MVP.
My bad.
Nick's MVP was Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think he's going to light it up in Denver. He's got a loaded offense. And I mean, he's had two MVP votes in his whole, or no, I don't even think he's had any until last year. Or no, 2 years ago. He didn't have any MVP votes. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Russell Wilson has never had any MVP votes. And he's coming back. They have a lot of good wide receivers. They got great backs.
They do.
They're good. They got that big ass tight end now.
I guess my only argument against that would be that the Broncos aren't like a team. They were stacked before he came in.
Peyton Manning here.
Yes.
Same shit.
That's true. That's true.
People wrote him off, and then he came in and what, threw 55 touchdowns?
Is anybody writing off Russell Wilson? I think everybody thinks they're going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not coming off a neck surgery like Peyton Manning was or whatever it was.
No.
Do you obviously believe he's going to have a great year?
I do. I would have went with Josh Allen, but like I said, I don't want to take the easy picks. I just kind of want to make something cool. So I think he'll be top three in MVP.
So you think Russell Wilson's cool then?
I picked a fucking cool pick for him. Because
he's very much
that.
Not.
Because he's very much not cool.
No, I mean, I think he's a loser and he's taking care of Future's kids. But I think Future's very cool.
Let's ride.
No, I don't think he's cool with the let's ride. I think
stepdad.
You got to say it. You got to do it.
No. Do it. No sex till marriage.
Let's ride.
I can't wait for Future's kids to tell him, you ain't my fucking dad.
Yeah, that's just going to be crazy.
Dude, can you imagine raging Future's fucking kids? That is, those kids are not going to be ruled.
So, like, when they go spend time with Future, how do you think they're not coming back being obedient or anything?
No.
I'd fuck their mom in a pair of Gucci flip flops.
Yeah.
I'll drink to that.
Facts.
Yeah, I'll drink to that too, actually.
Another sleeper MVP I was going to pick, but I wanted to be different, was Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I think he actually wins a really good shot.
Yeah.
In my scenario, if the Chargers do make the Super Bowl and they win the Super Bowl, I mean, he's got to be right there in the conversation, mm-hmm. right? I just looked at the Chargers team versus the Packers team. If the Packers make it to the Super Bowl, they're probably going to give it to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to have
line, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going to have to do more than Herbert will to get them there.
Felix is...
Felix, you want to come make your picks?
You want to come on camera?
No,
apparently.
He wants you to go over there.
I don't want to... We're on... Nick, will you grab us a couple of drinks of Felix's fucking... Yeah. Thank you, buddy. all right, you want to just read your picks? All right, we'll just read Felix's picks then. So for those who don't know, Felix joined the team a couple of weeks ago. We didn't really announce it because he's kind of behind the scenes. Basically, what it is Brian had a meeting with us, and he said, you know, guys, I want to be a little more analytical about what we talk about. I feel like we're goofing around a little bit too much. I want to get into the X's and O's. I'd like to rival... PFF, is that what you said? Pro Football Focus? I'd like to be better than
that. We could easily do that.
Yeah. So we brought on Felix. Felix went to Cleveland State, goes to Cleveland State, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He is a, he's
fifth
in his
year.
Yeah. Fifth. He's getting his, you're going to get your master's over there, right? Physical education. So yeah, which doesn't make sense, but he loves numbers.
Data science is just a hobby.
It's just a hobby of his. So Felix, he looks like
a gym teacher.
We feel like we had to include him on the graphic just because his face is so funny. Sorry, Felix.
Yeah, people kept saying he looked like Andy Milonakis. I don't see it.
I don't see it at all.
No.
A little bit.
That's kind of disrespectful for the people that said that shit.
Danny Milonakis, yeah.
Yeah.
If you could read Felix's predictions, that'd be great.
Felix is super ugly.
Felix, you picked the Steelers and Panthers in the Super Bowl with the Steelers winning it all.
So this is the explanation he gave me, since he won't come on camera because he's a pussy. Basically, he ran the numbers and he said that with the volatility in the NFC, all you need is an average year from Baker Mayfield and no injuries in the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl in the NFC. So he told me. Now, I don't know how he got the Pittsburgh Steelers there. Maybe he's just a secret Steelers fan, but
yeah, high hopes for Mitch, I guess.
If you want me to be honest about what I think about that team, I think they will be tough in the first couple weeks because Mike Tomlin's going to have them playing hard. They'll lose some close games. Mitch will keep them in, but he'll throw them out at the same time, if that makes sense. And like week 9, week 8, somewhere in there, they're going to put in Kenny Pickett, and that is going to be your prototypical rookie rebuilding team by the end of the year.
I see it, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a 6-7 win team. I mean, Super Bowl sounds crazy to me.
Hard not to want, like, I hate that Mitch went to the Steelers, because I really want to root for the guy. Local product, seems like a nice dude, kissing titties, makes me laugh.
Hilarious.
I like that.
Yeah.
So it sucks that he went there. I don't want to say that I'm rooting for him because it's still the Steelers, but like I would like to see if he made it deep into the season, at least like put on a good show to go somewhere else.
Do you think that'll happen?
No.
No. I don't think so either.
One thing that Felix did tell me though is that he said they're going to be like Ohio State was that one year, where they're going to have a 3-quarterback system and it all ends up working out, where the third string could come in and win it all for you. But I don't know if I believe Felix.
Rudolph?
Yeah. He said all 3 quarterbacks are going
to
play.
Wait, did he pick the Steelers to win it all?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Felix, who's the starting quarterback when they win it? No, he won't answer.
He held up his hands. Kenny Pickett.
So number two. Yeah. All right. Kenny Pickett.
Tiny hands.
Yeah. Felix does have tiny hands too. You should see him type. He has to move a long way every time he types a new number.
Don't dog him. He's embarrassed now. Look at him.
But I don't see it. I don't see that at all. Neither of those. All right. So keep going.
Yeah, his MVP is Najee Harris.
With a foot injury.
Well, I guess the one thing you say about that is if the Steelers make the Super Bowl, Najee Harris would be the MVP.
He's probably going to have to break the rushing record.
If they make the Super Bowl, it's Mitch Trubisky, baby.
All right, and next part is?
Browns' record was 9-8.
Okay, so the entire group picked between 8-9 and 11.
You had 10.
And yeah, you had 11.
I had 11.
I was the only one who went under 500.
Let's do...
I can see it.
Yeah, me too. I do actually think the one thing we got right in the graphic is probably the range low side to upside for this Browns team, right? Might maybe even 7 wins, depending if everything goes very, very south.
Yeah. I think that the sky would be fucking falling if this is a 7-win team.
You're going to know in the first 4 weeks if this is a 7-win team.
Yeah.
Because if they go 2-2 or 1-3, this is a 7-win team.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
I was telling Clock that earlier. I think they're going to have to start 4-0 because they could, or 3-1, they could very well lose the next 7 games with Jacoby Brissett.
Well,
tough schedule.
Here's the thing. Those first 4 games, easiest 4-game stretch in the NFL, Cleve TA told us.
Yep.
I agree with him. I actually went through this morning when I was going through doing my blog and tried to find a rivaling 4-game stretch that is even close, and there isn't anything.
No.
That is a really bad stretch of teams. So you go 3-1 and you are set up. Your next 7 games, you just need 2 wins. 2-5. It is a rough stretch. What do you got? You got Tampa, you got Miami, you got
Bills,
you got Ravens
and Bengals.
Chargers, Pats. Fuck, that's a murder.
really tough.
Now, the only thing that's good about that is you have more home games than away games, I believe, in that 7-game stretch. And, you know, steal 2 out of, I don't know, 2 out of those 7 with this defense, if it's what it's supposed to be, in this rushing game, if it's what it's supposed to be, doesn't seem that crazy to me. So if you go 3-1 in the first 4, 2-5 in the next stretch, while that would suck to watch, doesn't seem that crazy. That's 5 wins with Brissett, and all of a sudden, you're just banking on a guy that you mortgaged everything for to come in and win games.
Defense has to be a top 5 defense to be that good.
Yes, they definitely do. Yeah.
Like we've said it many times, if it comes down to a shootout, we're not going to win that game.
No. And that's why you can take the Chargers game. That's a loss. There's zero chance they win the Chargers game.
This 18-touch limit with Nick Chubb has to go. I think you need to feed all 3 running backs. If you run the ball 35 to 40 times a game in this first 11-game stretch.
And involve them in the screens. Have Kareem and Nick Chubb splitting out wide from the fucking shotgun or something. Dump it off to him. Like, that'll be fucking sick.
What's your ideal touch numbers for each running back?
For each running back, I mean, ideal. I'm a run the ball kind of guy.
Like what do you think would work? Like,
if you look at him, he's
20, 15, and 15.
Yeah. 20, 15, and 15. Yep. You want D'Ernest Johnson to get 15?
Yep. And I want Kareem to catch 5 to 6 passes a game as well.
I'll be honest, I'm okay with that. I'm usually completely against that, but in the first 11 games, I'm totally okay with it. Let me give you this real quick from Cleve TA. We're just go to cleveanalytics.com because we're basically just pimping out his website at this point.
That dude's smart.
what the first 11 games might look like for receivers targeted by Brissett. In 2019 and 2021, he targeted the running backs 19% of the time. The league average was 19%. So he's right on mark there.
Okay.
For wide receivers, he targeted them 53 and 54%. League average was 60%.
He loves his tight end.
And tight ends, 28%, 28%. League average, 21%. Go on the over, slam the over on Njoku yards.
I think
Bryant
scores.
Yards, if you can find it out there. I mean, that those are the bets to make right now.
They signed that 6'6 guy, right? The Jesse James.
Yeah.
From Pittsburgh.
I actually think that if Njoku can play up to 80% of the level of his contract, they're going to be fine because he's going to look for him all the time. My only issue is Njoku's a seam guy. He's a straight up the field guy, and I don't think Brissett can get it there. Mm-mm. So
Harrison Bryant is pretty fucking good.
I agree. He's a big body in space guy.
Is he hurt? Because he's not on the depth chart.
No, he's fine. He's playing.
Did you see the depth chart?
I didn't see the depth chart.
Wait, not Harrison Bryant's not on the depth chart?
At all?
Jesse James, second tight end.
Well, that is intriguing.
Isn't that weird?
I'll Google it real quick.
Yeah, pull it up real quick. I feel like that would be a bigger story that we might hear about.
For real.
What do they have him as? What do they have, an H-back slotted on there?
Harrison Bryant.
They got him as number 2.
Harrison Bryant coming into the draft.
He wasn't on there.
Had won that Mackey Award for best tight end, and all of his player comps were George Kittle.
Yeah.
They also
He's very good. He can catch the ball very well, and he can block really well.
They got Demetric Felton as our backup for David Bell. So that shows you how good a wide receiver room
is. Let's you know where we're at. Well,
you know what's funny? And this is the kind of the realization I came to over the last couple of days was, you know, I'm not going to sit here and go fucking Jeff Phelps on it. By the way, can I give you the opening line for Jeff Phelps today of how excited he was about NFL football coming back?
Yes.
Show starts. They have, which by the way, is the craziest juxtaposition of music versus what is reality. It's like hard rock guitar riff, and then it's Jeff Phelps's voice afterwards. And he goes, the NFL season is back, and I'm mighty excited. That was what he said. So he was obviously very jacked up.
My buddy Sean, who listens, did not care for our Andy Baskin slander.
That's crazy.
He likes him because he talks hockey. I'm like, there's no way he talks hockey well enough to make up for the rest of it. It's very true.
How much hockey can you talk in Cleveland?
I don't know, but my buddy's all about the hockey. Loves him some hockey.
I will literally do a 5-minute, I'll just read stats for you, and if you never listen to Andy Baskin again, I'll just do it just for you. This will be a special one-on-one podcast. I'll just text it to you. It'll be a voice note on my phone so you don't listen to this. I forget where we go. Oh, the wide receiver room. I started thinking about it, and I'm like, man, I was down a little bit on the wide receivers too, but looking at those numbers, those percentages that Jacoby Brissett actually throws to, why would you invest in a wide receiver room when you, I mean, at the time they didn't know, but maybe just worked out as a, you know, a Simpson or a Homer. Is that what they called it in the Simpsons? When like a bad thing turns into a good thing, when he slides into the cheerleaders and he gets tripped in the game.
Okay.
Homer Simpson.
Yeah. It's maybe they just worked out the right way. If he's not going to throw to him that much anyway, and all you need is an Amari Cooper and someone else underneath who can catch balls and your tight end, why would you go out and sign somebody? They just get disgruntled.
Yeah, but like, I guess, be more aggressive in the draft with another tight end. Get that third option instead of cutting Hooper loose and then just kind of like up until Jesse James, we had nobody.
Yeah.
It was just a two-person tight end room. It was like, okay, well, you run more 13 personnel than like anybody. What's happening right now?
I guess what I was thinking is after draft, right? Once you don't draft a wide receiver, at that point, why go out and get a guy? Why bring in a Jalen Reagor, which would have been a terrible move anyway because he's dog shit.
Yeah.
Why bring in, who's the kid from New York? Everybody kept saying they were going to cut him loose.
Galladay?
No,
was it Wandale?
Giants, you talking about Giants?
Giants, yes.
Wandale Tony? Robinson?
No.
He just got drafted.
Fuck. Sterling Shepard?
That's right. He is a rookie. Yeah. My bad.
Sterling Shepard. Why bring in one of those guys when you're just going to piss him off?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because that probably is what's going to happen, right? Amari Cooper's going to get his balls. David Bell will probably get a bunch of catches too.
I'm excited to see what he has. Yeah.
And then the rest is going to go to running backs and tight ends. And like, if you brought in another name, all they're going to do is be like, what the fuck am I doing here? What am I doing here?
I think they're experimenting too. They want to see if DPJ can make that next jump. They want to see what David Bell's made of. You know, then they may maybe make a move after that. But yeah.
But you also, like, I don't think that you play this season of, like, we're rolling with Jacoby Brissett. I think you play this season of, like, we made this gigantic, enormous, horrible investment in Deshaun Watson. We should be preparing for that because that is the future. Jacoby Brissett is a placeholder. Bide your fucking time. Bite your tongue. Play the goddamn games. If you're not fed properly, whatever, you're going to have Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of? And you're not going to like this comparison.
Uh-huh.
This reminds me of... What time is it now? Oh, shit.
Felix, turn that shit off.
We got on. Hold on a second.
Oh, that means set your fucking lineup, no?
We're at 7:30.
We got time.
Okay.
Time's
kickoff, 8:20?
Yep, 8:20. What that does mean, though... What I think is this is going to be a very much like a Guardians year in that they're looking at what they have. They want to evaluate it. And they said, we're going to lose Deshaun for a bunch of games, whether it's 6, whether it's 8, whether it's 10, whether it's a season. We don't know. This ain't the year why we traded for him. There's 4 more years beyond it. That's the investment. We just got to ride the PR wave this year. We got to see what happens here. I mean, realistically, do you think the Browns front office is going, we have a shot at the Super Bowl this year? Honestly?
No.
Okay. Anybody?
Yes.
You really think so?
Mm.
No.
No. Right. I love clocks optimism. It's crazy. Next year, though.
Can't be wasting these guys' primes.
Yeah, but when Deshaun Watson has six games of this year, a full off season, you know, theoretically healthy heading into next year, you have another draft, you have another free agency, tighter salary cap, admittedly.
But and no first round picks.
And a lot of these guys back. Do you think next year is the year they're aiming at a Super Bowl?
I mean, I you have to, because that's the first full season with next him. But what, you've talked about it before. I still don't totally believe it, but you seem to, that the Bills going to come due at some point. So they are going to have to cut some people loose. You don't have any first round draft picks.
That's
right
why
now,
not gonna waste
the
any
surrounding
time.
Cast is going to be as good as it gets. So like maybe Jimmy G was the move. Maybe Jimmy G and a wide receiver was the move, because you still apparently do have cap space somehow this year. Next year, where's that coming from? And where are you going to get these other assets if you don't have any money or any first-round draft picks?
And it's not like we have anybody that we just paid all of our best players, so we don't have anybody that we could... I mean, Kareem, I guess, is going to walk next year.
And he's a running back.
Unless, yeah. And we're not going to get a first-round pick for him. We're going to get a third, fourth, maybe, at
best. Oh, that is generous.
Well, you're at best.
Well,
I think,
you're
if, an, I think if somebody
not,
offers that...
Well, you're not getting anything. You're getting a compensatory pick.
Yeah, exactly. You know and I mean? That, I don't know. Clock keeps saying we don't have time to waste. It's an 11-game suspension. Like, that's... Yeah. We don't have a choice. That is time wasted.
I mean, if we're dealing in reality here, this is not a Super Bowl or bust year. And if it is, there's going to be a whole lot of people fired and a whole lot of heads rolling and things changing.
It's not Super Bowl or bust, but that's kind of how I see it. We're still all in on it. I mean, we got to play our best football these first 11 games. And then whatever happens after that is, you know, what happens. But, I mean, I still think we're all in, you know.
I cannot imagine investing that much guaranteed money in a quarterback and not having at least a, and I know how crazy Jimmy is, mm-hmm. the slightest grasp on reality of it might not be that this year. He's gone 11 games. It might not be that this year. Look, we're, you know, I want to get into the record thing here. Like we talked about, you know, 3-1, 4-0 through the first four. That's all you really got to do. That's crazy, but you still got to do it. It's a bad schedule. You got to win two of the next seven. Then Deshaun Watson comes in. He's still got to win four or five of the next six.
He's
got
to run the table to be...
Yeah, I mean, it's four or five. Right? If they go 3-1 in the first four, they go 2-5 in the next seven, that's 5-6. He has to go at the very least 4-2, probably 5-1. The record or the teams you play lend themselves to that, but the guys haven't played in fucking eons.
I mean, do you think we still make the playoffs at 10-7? Because
I do.
AFC West, yes. Obviously they're going to beat up on each other in division, but... I mean, there's so many good AFC teams.
Two wild card teams.
AFC West is really good. You could have the Chargers and
the
Broncos.
Bills, the Dolphins even could have a good year. The Raiders. Like.
But you know what? Honestly, 10 wins and missing the playoffs and Deshaun Watson goes 5-1, I think they're ecstatic about what happens.
I think that's...
You know, I think that's... That like, fuck yeah, next season's going to be awesome.
Exactly. That sets us up really, really well for next season. But like Brian said, we don't have a first round pick. We don't have any money. What are we going to do? Give Will Fuller a veteran's minimum.
You're going to cut Conklin loose. That's going to free up some money.
That's going to suck.
But then you got a big fucking hole at right tackle, which hopefully he can be healthy throughout this season.
Speaking of, on the injury report, Stefanski says he thinks he can play on Sunday. Any confidence in that?
It's a big injury to come back from.
Yeah, I guess some. But
I feel
like
they don't rush that.
Would you rush him back? I don't know if I'd rush him back against the Carolina.
I trust Callahan, though. Like I would hope that they would have made some strides with James Hudson. I personally hate Chris Hubbard. I don't think he's good at all. I don't get what this whole, he's the best backup swing tackle in the game. I don't get it.
If our first four games weren't so easy, I would say, yeah, rush him back. But not with
that. Yeah, I'd be
first
patient.
Four games, like if you lose Conklin for the rest of the year, then... When Watson comes back,
we got a long season.
That 7-game stretch, yeah. That's a very, very long season right there. Because you're banking on him being healthy.
We talked about it a lot this offseason. And again, I'm really hoping Callahan can get to him. But Jedrick Wills needs a giant leap in his game.
Huge.
I mean, we can't pay him.
And now you've got your third string center playing. He's paid anyways. He's first round top 10 pick. You're going to have a fifth-year option with that guy. So that's at least locked in. Betonio's locked in. Wyatt Teller's locked in. That
and
is
let's
something
be
to
real.
Feel good about moving
the
forward.
The salary cap's going to jump. They're going to move. They're going to renegotiate some contracts. There's always money to be had. I just don't
think goes back to my original argument.
I agree,
it's
but
not
I just
real.
I just
it's
don't think there's big money to be had past here. Almost everything you're going to do is going to be internal, or it's going to be a second round pick next year. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of, or a veteran wide receiver who just wants to prove something and play with a good team, which we've seen more recently in the NFL has become a trend and never used to be that way. That was an NBA thing. Now you see guys all the time will sign with the team.
Did Clowney sign a 1 or 2 year deal?
2 year.
2 year.
Okay.
It's a two.
Is it two?
Call me crazy. Let's get Antonio Brown next year.
I'll call Antonio Brown crazy, and I'll still take him.
I think he's so fucking good, though. Oh, I know he's so insane, good. But...
Why next year?
He fucking ran out in the middle of the game on a Tom Brady team. You think that the Cleveland Tom Browns Brady are going to have him...
If Watson goes 5-1 and we offer him a deal?
Well, but that was over incentive, so let me offer up a situation here. Let's just say this year, this team is heading your week 9, week 10, wherever it is. You got a couple game or two left of Jacoby Brissett. You're playing at or maybe slightly above expectations, but the receivers aren't quite panning out the way you thought they were. Would you give Antonio Brown a all incentive contract to come onto the team?
No.
Would you rather give Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham coming off of
Antonio
ACL?
Easily.
No, Antonio ACL, Brown.
I would rather.
Antonio Brown is way better. As far as actual talent goes, sure, Antonio Brown. But Antonio Brown is a proven cancer. He is a horrible person to have on your team because there is no ability like availability, and he could leave the fucking field during the game on a successful team with Tom Brady as the quarterback. The Cleveland Browns have been the most inept fucking organization in all of sports. You think that they're going to be the ones that could solve the Antonio Brown Rubik's Cube? Get the fuck out of here.
He wanted his money.
On counterpoint.
He wanted his money.
Throw the guy the ball.
His CTC is let him get his ass.
Let him get
his incentive. Counterpoint.
Fuck you, Bruce Arians.
If anything, go get Will Fuller.
Hold on. Wait, what happened in the offseason? What did Tom Brady do after the season? What did he do?
He got facial surgery.
But what did he do with the team? He retired.
Yeah.
He forced out who?
Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians.
He's still up. He's still in the organization.
He's still in the organization. In the organization. Sure he is.
Do you think that's a Tom Brady move or do you think it's a hiding from the whole Miami situation move?
No. That was 100% a Tom Brady move. He wanted out of that situation or he wanted to move over to the Miami situation. Either way. Also, so before that, who was the first guy who didn't like Bruce Arians? Boom. Antonio Brown. Bring him to Cleveland.
I'm sorry for bringing
that
up.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I truly believe Antonio Brown is a generational
impressive
talent.
Gymnastics, though.
That was good. All the way through this thing.
His head's fucked.
So?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you rather have a fucked up head or a fucked up knee? At least he can stay on the field when he wants to.
But he doesn't.
Odell doesn't have a choice.
The guy goes off the field one time shirtless, and everybody thinks he's a quitter.
I thought it was back on the train.
I guess we all have fucked up.
I thought
up
it was cool. Also, Will Fuller can't stay on the field either.
Exactly. Yeah, you are right about that.
For a completely different reason.
Will started talking, but I was going to be like, yeah, I'm an idiot. I just said of no ability like availability, and then Will Fuller's hurt all the goddamn time.
He didn't
play last year.
I don't know if you saw the reports about Will Fuller wanting to make the decision after the Watson thing. So I think that's why we don't have a veteran receiver is nobody wants to come play with Brissett for 11 games and then, you know, thinking we're going to have a chance with Watson. So they're going to wait till next year. I don't know, maybe.
Or wait till week 9.
I don't even know who's on a 1 year contract. Do we know anybody who's on, like Julio Jones? But
He's tanked. I mean,
I had heard a podcast that threw out the idea that Julio Jones, it was not brought in to fill any sort of like, you know, Chris Godwin while he's out kind of role or anything like that.
No.
He's there to fill the Gronk role.
Yeah, I read that too.
I guess Gronk had a bigger role, though.
I like that idea.
Yeah. He's there for the name too. I mean,
yeah, he's not there to fill the Antonio Brown role. He's not there to fill the Chris Godwin role. It's the Gronk role.
I have a lot of faith in Byron Leftwich to make that happen too.
Yeah.
Like any other offensive coordinator, there's very few in the league. I'd be like, yeah, they're innovative enough to take that old fucking receiver with a big body and make him basically a tight end. But I don't know. I think Leftwich would probably do it.
I think it'd be really awesome to see Julio Jones finally in his career be a touchdown guy.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
He averages the most yards a game in history. Mm-hmm. I have a list of all the available free agents as of this
week. Well, hold on. One quick comment. I would actually find it awesome if we could finally, in his career, make Phil Taylor a touchdown guy.
Phil Taylor from Baylor?
Number one's Odell.
Oh, that's right.
Number one's Odell.
Yep.
Number two's Antonio Brown.
Now, hold on. Before you go, it is Odell is the guy who everybody will be targeting if you're in the running for it.
Yeah, week 8.
You have a weak receiver room. That's the guy you're going to
get. You got a shitty wide receiver room who starts off 5-2, and then he's going to get signed. Antonio Brown's number two. He's 34, though. Will Fuller, 28. T.Y. Hilton, 32 years old. I don't hate T.Y. Hilton. I know he was injury prone towards the later in his career.
I don't got it no more. I used to love T.Y.
Yeah,
oh, he was great.
Will is going to fucking hate this. Cole Beasley, because he's white. Fucking hate him.
I actually really do like Cole Beasley.
You think he's gritty?
I do think he's gritty.
He's a gym rat.
He works harder than everybody else.
He's first guy in, last guy out. He really digs in the playbook. He's got some fucked up.
Can't take him to Canada.
Yeah, can't take him to Canada. We're not playing anybody up in the Toronto League. But
and then you got Emmanuel Sanders.
He's retired.
And then it really, really falls off. You got Laquon Treadwell.
Who the fuck is that?
God, I wanted Laquon Treadwell in the draft in the first round that year.
And then there's literally no other wide.
He was so good at Ole Miss.
Auden Tate is the next available.
I wouldn't hate that.
From the Bengals.
I actually wouldn't hate that. He's a real big body kind of slot guy.
Isaiah Ford, Mohamed Sanu.
I feel like Tate, those guys are on the street. You can go find a guy who can do that for you. Find a big body, you can catch the ball. You bring him and give him an opportunity. They're hungry. You could do that. It's not like that guy is that much better than Dry Cherry used to always tell me. He saw so many guys that were twice as talented as him get cut. They just never got the opportunity. He was the guy who got the opportunity because he was a second round pick. He saw a ton of guys who were crazy talented and they get four reps in a practice and they get cut. They go to another team, four reps, they get cut and they're out of the league. Those guys are sitting everywhere on the street. Tate is not a talent that you're like, hell yeah. Fuck yeah, we brought it. I thought he was pretty damn good.
That Cincinnati wide receiver room is so crazy now, though.
Yeah.
He just didn't have a spot there.
He's like 6'6 as well.
Yeah.
Why isn't he signed anywhere else?
I don't know. But the next two names. If it was fully incentivized deals, I wouldn't disagree with DeSean Jackson, which, I mean, he's speedy, and John Ross. Those are two guys that could spread the field.
Well, fuck it then. If you're going to go, If you're going to go fully incentive, then go Antonio Brown. Like, seriously, that is the only thing he gives a fuck about is incentives.
Yeah.
Give him the incentive. A 6-week, 7-week incentive-laden contract, still eligible for the playoffs.
He's got his rap career.
They got to play his dick off.
Contracts. Contracts with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
That he said, fuck off. And he went to the Raiders and he went, fuck off.
He froze his foot.
Counterpoint.
And did a million other things.
Counterpoint. Ben Roethlisberger's racist. That's what he said. So.
That was spot on.
I'm sure he is. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, then you just agree with Antonio Brown. So that one's off the table. So now we're only talking about the one time they wouldn't give him the touches to get his money.
The Raiders, it was because of John Gruden.
Ooh, it's proven that
also
he's racist.
Also racist.
But he might not have shown it.
Also racist.
He might not have shown it.
Holy shit.
I watched that Hard Knocks. Hold on.
Someone tweeted out, reports, we're getting close to signing Antonio Brown. We are inching closer.
But then,
you know what? That's what we need for the bowl. Let's get it.
He did go to the Patriots, and what was the excuse there? I guess rape?
They sign a ton of white slot receivers.
Yeah, it's true.
Could be racist.
Kind of racist.
They don't have white slot receivers right now.
They used to have a lot of them.
But they don't.
They don't know.
They don't have any.
There is an excuse in New England. You're right. He put up good numbers there, though.
Yeah, in the games he was eligible. Yeah, him and Tom Brady did great.
But that wasn't the games he was eligible was not on. I mean, it was on him.
Like, but he only played like three games there.
Yeah, but it wasn't him.
He only played one.
Antonio Brown's a piece of shit.
He played one.
But it wasn't because he didn't want to play.
Yeah, he just wasn't allowed.
It's because Roger Goodell is also a racist.
Yeah, that's true.
You guys just want to be the least likable team in the history of sports.
Facts.
I mean, if you're going down that road, why not?
We need things to talk about,
full heel turn. You want Hollywood Hulk Hogan. You want this to be absolute black hat bad guy shit.
Yes. Imagine if they won.
That's right up your alley, though, so I don't know why I'm surprised.
Imagine if they won a Super Bowl with this team, with Deshaun Watson and Antonio Brown.
Do you think there's any...
Bring Greg Hardy back.
Yeah.
Let's throw him in there.
Well, no.
How about Vontaze Burfict?
No.
Whoa, he's the one who ruined Antonio Brown, by the way.
I loved Burfict, by the way.
I always loved Burfict, too.
What about T.O.? He ran a 4.44 40.
Bring him back. One of my favorites.
He would get hit over the middle and just die.
Him and Chad Ochocinco, I bet you he'd run a decent 40, but they are old.
I think we lost our train of thought here.
Yeah. Right. Was there ever one?
So back to it. To improve the Browns wide receiver room, do you think there's any wide receivers that we could get for Kareem Hunt?
No.
All right. That's all I need.
You probably get Jalen Reagor. I mean, you can get trash. But you can't get anything decent. Yeah.
Jalen Reagor is a bad wide receiver.
I think Kareem Hunt's a better wide receiver than anybody you could get for
Completely agree. Completely agree. I'd rather have Kareem Hunt flexing in and out of the backfield. Also, Demetric Felton flexing in and out of the backfield at the same time. I'd rather have
Speaking of Kareem Hunt receiving, his over-under for receptions on Sunday is 2.5.
I'm slamming
that. Hold on. I was just going to get back. I was just going to go to that. Clock, do you have our list of props for Sunday?
Yeah.
All right, let's start there. receiving 2.5 receptions on Sunday. Over.
That's all crazy. Day. Unless it is 80, but even if it's thunderstorms, I think he's going to lead the team in receptions.
He's led the team in touchdown receptions, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was last year he led the team in touchdown receptions.
Did he?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think it might have been 2 years ago. No, it might have been 2 years ago when we had Odell.
Hold on. We're going to pull this up.
Didn't he have like six?
2020?
Because Njoku was last year.
Njoku was last year with 400 yards.
God, that's embarrassing.
I think the year before, Kareem had like 6 reception touchdowns.
It was, Odell had 4 that year.
I'm almost positive.
Juice? No.
He had a couple rushing.
It's probably Reem, yeah.
I don't know. I really, really believe that Kareem Hunt is just going to go back to Kansas City.
But 2.5 catches? I mean, like.
Well, it was catches.
It's catches. Like receptions.
I actually like that a lot.
What do you think it was? Touchdowns was for joking. The year?
Yeah.
No, it's receptions for the game.
Kareem Hunt had 5 receiving touchdowns.
Who led us in 2020? Was it him?
Yep.
That's so embarrassing.
Yep. Hooper with 4,
team.
Higgins with 4.
That's a defensive playoff.
Landry,
team.
Odell, and Bryant with 3.
So you're saying Baker won us that playoff game and balled out all year going to the playoffs doing that?
Yep. Spread it around.
That's the guy Brian loves.
So compare that to Christian McCaffrey, who's a fucking receiving back. His over-under is 5.5 catches.
I think he's going to beat that, too.
Yeah.
It's a big number.
We've talked about it. That's the Stefanski offense. It's not picking your guy and making plays and improvising. It's this is the timing of the play. This is who you're trying to hit. Like, you know, just time it up right and we're good.
Even down 15, we're not changing the game plan.
Yes.
We're just doing the same thing. Besides running Nick Chubb.
I'd go under on that.
Under 2.5 catches?
Yeah, I think McCaffrey, I think go under. Oh. I know Hunt, I go over. McCaffrey, I go under. I'd actually just avoid the McCaffrey line.
I'd avoid McCaffrey.
Because he's going to get hurt?
No, just because I think that he's so involved in the offense. Like, I don't know. That's a lot.
I had a prop bet when he got hurt last year, McCaffrey, in the game that he got hurt, and I was so sick. What's I texted Bookie. I was like, yo, come on, bro. It was the first quarter. He was like, yeah, I got you.
Oh, that was very nice. Can you get a prop bet on when McCaffrey will get hurt this year?
I don't know.
That was my next question.
That'd be dark.
What do you think is the over-under on Chubba Hubbard's rushing? Is it like 14 yards?
What a fun
He's not even on here. It has Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt's is 32.5 rushing yards. Nick Chubb's 73.5.
Hit view all.
73.5 is an over all day. Kareem Hunt, I don't touch. Okay. But all the way, if you play those single games, it's always someone who plays Chubba Hubbard and then McCaffrey goes down and he gets a bunch of touches. That's who wins like the fucking tournament.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
$11,000 somehow.
Yeah,
like,
when that fucking...
What a dickhead. You put $5 on that?
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's like the biggest one I ever had in FanDuel was I did a tier thing and it was the 1 week that Taysom Hill wasn't a quarterback, but he was playing quarterback.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you could start him at tight end.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Like, $600 in that because I came in second, and yeah, that was cheating.
Yeah,
hell in fantasy football for that.
I had Taysom Hill,
week.
Kirk Cousins, and Adam Thielen, and Adam Thielen went off for 2 touchdowns that game too.
God, remember how much of an asset Adam Thielen was for a minute?
Mm-hmm. They got Justin Jefferson.
He's supposedly healthy this year.
He's just old.
He had 10 touchdowns last year. I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
Yeah,
I did not know that. Had 10 reception touchdowns last year.
I drafted in one of my leagues very late because that's an asset. He gets a lot of targets though. All right, clock, next one.
Next one. So going back to receiving by Kareem, his over-under for receiving yards is 19.5.
I think I'm over there too.
I'm over. Yeah. That's just one catch even.
Well, if I'm going over 2.5 receptions, I'm going over 19 receiving yards for sure.
Yeah, because if he has 3 catches, you're going to get more than 6 yards on each catch.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Then I have Cooper and Njoku. Njoku is 36.5 over-under, and Amari Cooper is 48.5.
Man, with the weather,
like
those are
staying away from
those are tough lines. Yeah, I don't know if I fuck with either of those. Brian, you bet neither of those?
One more time with that.
48.5 for Amari Cooper and 36.5 for Njoku.
34.5.
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't touch
lines.
Those. Yeah. I think that the Hunt stuff is incredible, and I'd be hammering that.
Yeah. Is there a target or a receptions for Amari Cooper?
3.5.
Hold on, let me pull
3.5. Oh, I think I go over there too. Yeah. I think he'll have like
I don't know
Nick 5 Chubbs. For 40.
Nick Chubbs is 1.5 on receptions too.
I don't like.
I stay away from.
I did that so much last year and it just never hit.
DJ Moore's 5.5.
That's quite
same
a bit.
As Christian McCaffrey.
I'd hit the under on that.
Yeah,
I'd feel pretty comfortable on the other under for that.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Peoples Jones is only 2.5.
That's one I'd stay away from.
You might not even get a catch.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're going to do with him. I agree. I actually think the lines there, DJ Moore under and the Kareem Hunt line over is mm-hmm. both those are good. Those are good bets.
How about this one? Total rushing yards, Jacoby Brissett, 8.5.
Under all day.
I don't know. If he scrambles.
He's pretty athletic. No, or at least he was a couple years ago.
He's pretty heavy. Fucking slow.
A couple years ago, he had some nice runs.
Yeah.
But he could always just scramble for a 9-yarder and then you just.
That never happens.
I hate betting unders because then you're just rooting against exciting football. Like, especially the over.
I'm an over guy. I'm
under
guy.
On point totals. You just root for a boring game. I don't like that.
That's fine. I'm betting the under on that for sure. Okay.
Other ones that I had was Kareem Hunt anytime and Nick Chubb anytime, both plus money.
Anytime touchdowns?
Yeah. Kareem's was like 275 and Chubb's was like plus 100, something like that.
I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like both those. I think the Kareem's a value bet.
Nick Chubb, I just feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, they just give him the ball in the red zone. So.
Or he breaks one.
I have Nick Chubb in every fantasy league but one.
Damn.
5 for 6.
What is? Can you look up the exact odds on Nick Chubb there?
For what?
The touchdown
anytime?
It's plus 100. I ran it today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, touchdown, I mean, that feels right.
I'd say so.
2-something for Kareem? I don't know if I like that bet. I think I'd stay away from the touchdown on him. They don't go to him often in the red zone. They just don't.
What about Baker picks? Is there any prop bets on Baker picks?
No, there's touchdowns.
It was 1.5, wasn't it?
Oh, interceptions thrown by the player. Nope, 0.5 for both him and Jacoby.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going
yeah, over on Baker.
I would not touch Jacoby because he doesn't
throw. Jacoby's was like minus 170 and Baker's was plus. Or no, opposite. Baker was minus like 170.
He's minus 117 right now for the over.
117. And Jacoby was plus money.
Plus 118 for Jacoby.
Plus 118.
Because he never turns the ball over.
Yeah.
Total pass completions, they got Baker at 19.5 and they got Jacoby at 18.5.
That was his line all the time.
Don't touch that.
It's just so hard.
I don't know.
I don't fully understand betting, but like if I'm putting money down, I'm putting a couple bucks on that Baker over parlayed with all of those Kareem ones.
Yeah, me too.
The Baker over on interceptions?
Yeah, and then I'd probably get ballsy with the under on DJ Moore, but so I'd probably
over,
leave that out. Leave
you said
out.
Baker over on interceptions, and then what else?
And then all the Kareem, the over on all the Kareem
receptions and yards on Kareem. Receiving.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what you're
I don't know about. If I, like I said, I don't like the Kareem rushing yards one.
No. You don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah. It's game script.
Yeah. Although, like, I think we've talked about this before. I love him in the red zone more than I love Nick Chubb. And Nick Chubb is supposedly one of the better red zone runners in the league. And he's great at it, but like I love giving the ball to Kareem. I feel better about that within the 10-yard line.
What about Miles like sacks? What's the number there? You have that?
I don't think they even...
How much would you bet on your parlay?
$10.
It'd be a $49 payout.
That's fine with me.
Sacks? I don't know if they do defensive, do they?
I would stay away from that. I would never feel like comfortable betting Miles
sacks.
Can
you do team sacks? Because if you can do team sacks... Offense. Then I would do it because I do think they will have.
No, it's all offensive.
What number would you put on set? Because I do think they're going to get to Baker a couple of times. That's not a very good offensive line over there.
4.
Oh, see, I was going to say 3. So if they put it at 3.5, that'd be a tough line.
No, they don't have any defense. They got kicking, though.
Give me some kicking numbers.
Okay, York over 5.5 points. So they're guessing a field goal and 2 touchdowns or 2 field goals.
Ooh, that's tough.
That is tough. I don't think I touched that.
And then Eddie Pinheiro, which is apparently
who's bad.
Carolina's over 6.5. So they think that he's...
Well, they just signed him because of what's-his-face got injured down there.
Graham Sly?
Yeah.
Were they still with Sly? Right? No.
I'm pretty sure he's Gano.
Is it?
Yeah.
So yeah, Cade York over 5.5 points.
I don't think I'm not touching those, I don't think.
Yeah,
that's stay away.
How many touchbacks? Can we get that number?
They don't have that.
How good do we think this Carolina defense is? Because there are some studs on there.
I don't think it's anything to write about.
Average.
Yeah. I like that Derek Brown kid that they took 2 years ago out of Auburn. I thought mm-hmm. he was nasty. Brian Burns is real good.
I like their corner. Or is it a safety?
Jeremy Chin?
Yeah.
He's a safety.
Safety, yeah.
Total yards of the shortest field goal, over or under 27.5.
Over. I'll take that. Well, it's raining, though.
That's yeah, if somebody gets into the red zone, they kick a 24-yard field goal.
I don't know.
That'd be on the 7-yard line?
Well, you know Stefanski's going to go for it on short yardage downs.
He just doesn't like kicking field goals.
Rule's the exact opposite. Yeah. But I think this year you're going to see a lot more field goals out of Stefanski. He, at least professing to trust Cade York, they gave him a shit ton of opportunities in the preseason. They've been letting him do 50 and 60 yarders in practice.
He's been banging them. Well, at least he's got the leg.
But like, it was partially not trusting the kickers last year, and also analytics. Like analytics say, and that's what Harbaugh goes for it on fourth down so much. Analytics say, you know, go for it.
And then building off that, here's another one for the kicking. Total successful field goals by the Browns over under 1.5. Do you think they'll make 2?
I think you're over there with the rain.
Well, if you're going over there, then you're going to have to take the points by Cade York too.
Yeah.
Because if you don't parlay that, that's the same bet.
Yeah.
I feel like you can't even parlay that. It's because it's the same shit. They'd be preventing that.
Let's see.
Yeah, see if they allow that, because that's a good bet, I think.
Yeah.
Unless I just fleeced Barstool Sportsbook.
Fleeced the analytics.
Sorry, boss.
Hold on. I still got Brian's parlay in here.
go-to order during a football game. Go down the line. Brian, you're going to order takeout during a football game. What are you ordering? I know you have a little different diet.
Yes.
You cannot parlay those.
My Bibibop, because of that. Wow. Bibibop always.
Oh, Bibibop smacks.
Always.
That's good.
But I'm making my Italian beef. You guys
it's
had
so
it.
Good. Italian. So good.
I did not have Italian. It. When I got there, it was gone.
I hardly had any either.
You were high as a kite.
I had 3 sandwiches.
You didn't know that, but it was gone.
Oh, I was very high.
So was I.
Yeah, you had some good eats over there for sure.
Nick?
I don't really order food. I usually make it. I'm a big game day chili guy. Start it in the morning, really? Cook it all day. Yep. Love chili.
Anything
soup
crock
even.
Pot.
I love it. Like a tortellini soup or a chicken tortilla soup even.
Man, that's a Hull House smells good.
Oh, yeah.
I live an anti-soup lifestyle.
Oh, I love soup.
Soup always pisses me off because my mom used to try and pass it off as a meal, and I'm like, this is
I never make like a chicken noodle soup, though. I usually do something more heartier. I'm a hearty soup guy.
I feel you, though.
Right?
That's fat.
Soup is not a meal.
But chili is one of my favorite foods, so that's usually a go-to.
Soup will never fill
Chili's
you up.
Shit. No,
I'll have soup when I'm
that's
sick.
Not true.
Now Sarah does make a beef and veggie stew that with giant chunks of
Wait,
like stew meat.
What was the last word?
Stew.
Stew. That's not a soup. Different
facts.
I meant soup. I said stew.
Yeah,
it's stew meat. But it's
stewy.
Well, then what makes it a stew? Is it the meat or is it the
thicker broth?
Broth. My mom used to make ham soup all the time, and I wouldn't eat it, and then she would get mad because I'd call it hot ham water.
That's fucked.
Yeah, ham and bean soup? Is that what it was?
No, it was just ham and, like, potatoes, and I...
Can we just stop and admire how fucking weird both of your orders are for, like, I just asked you what you order during football games, and you're like...
You didn't even ask me.
Well, I know, we're going to get to normal food here in a second.
I mean, what do you... Like, pizza and wings?
They make fucking
I like cooking, so I really enjoy cooking, so...
I hate cooking.
All right, clock. Like give them some real food.
Pizza and wings. Thanks, every time.
What are the toppings and what flavors?
Expensive.
I'm either going to get the pepperoni. It depends if there's people come over. Pepperoni, cheese. May add the sausage. If it's personal, throw mushrooms on that bitch.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wings, I'm coming hot. Barbecue. No.
Hell yeah.
Simple shit, you know?
Cajun wings. Like,
wings right are so expensive now, though. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
I would rather make my own wings.
This dude's fucking got a sugar mama.
I got to buy my own mansion.
He lives in a mansion. He's bitching about wing prices.
Well, I'm about to get that trickle-down effect on that because I'm getting his sectional.
Yes, he is.
Oh, there you
I'm
go.
Selling my
there
sectional. You go.
She's my surrogate sugar mama now.
By the way, wing prices are now lower than they were before Joe Biden got in the office. So
see?
He did that.
Thanks,
Joe
Biden.
Biden.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, tell Wingstop that because they didn't realize that either.
Thanks, no. Sleepy Joe.
Did you guys see him tweet fuck yesterday?
Yeah.
When they went out of chicken sandwiches?
Yeah.
They put fuck on their Twitter.
I'd like to believe that was Rick Ross's decision to tweet that. So.
I like that this new era of social media is like, we don't need to be politically correct because only assholes are on Twitter now.
Yep, I tweeted that one so that it's this new generation, like a younger, I guess a little bit younger than me, the social media managers are doing incredible.
Yeah, it has been very good.
It's so funny.
Started with like Wendy's.
Wendy's was off the wall.
Dude, the fact that Arby's sent me an Arby's meat suit for a video.
That's phenomenal.
That's such tough.
It's just a good job on social media. You know?
Yes.
And they sent me 3 gift cards and I literally, they saw them. They're in my cup holder. I just like, I look at them all the time. Like, man, I should just get some Arby's. They're right there. It's awesome.
The best part
how
of
fat
was,
we can get you.
The best part of that care package was the hat. The massive hat they sent you.
That's your cool. Pharrell that, hat. That shit can happen in today's world.
Tall.
But if you like tell that to like an older person, they're like, what? Where'd you get that? At Walmart?
Like, no.
Yeah, like, no. Arby's actually sent me this.
Arby's DM'd me and sent me a hat.
Tom Arby's himself.
Tom Arby's himself. I think that's everything I had that I want to talk about here. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I'm cool. I got...
Game props we went
game
through.
Game shit.
We McCaffrey. I got to set my lineup here. Anybody else got anything else? It's week one of the NFL. Are we going to be excited about Browns when we talk again on Sunday evening? By the way, we got to talk on Sunday evening.
Yeah. We're going to come off
a win. Are we going to be excited? How do you feel, Brian? Well, you won't be excited, but you will we be talking about positively or negatively?
I think negatively.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to lose?
I think that this team just can't win week one.
Final game prediction.
28-17.
Carolina.
Carolina.
I'm going to go 24-13
Browns. 24-14
Browns.
20-14 Browns.
Yeah. I think this is a...
over.
Kid York over, yeah. Parlay with the yards.
All of us just ran the under.
Yeah, no, yes. It's a big under game.
So.
Well, the under is super low, isn't it? It's like 42.
It's like 41, 42, yeah.
Love it, though.
28-17 puts it at 45.
37 is 20-17.
Huh?
No, that's 45.
28-17.
Oh, yeah, I think said 20-17. Nah. Yeah, that's 45.
He's over, we were under.
Yeah. We were under.
But he also has us losing.
Yes.
Would you bet... So I did bet the Browns with the points. I got 2.5. I felt that was a fucking gimme. Right now, the Browns are almost, they're moving towards a favorite now.
Some sports books have them at 1.5 favorite.
That's crazy.
I got them at 2.5 underdog. I feel like you have to take that bet if you can get it. If you got 2.5 points, would you feel good? Obviously not with your final score. You think they're losing either way, huh?
I think they are losing. I think it's going
to
suck.
Do you think it's an outright loss or do you think it's going to be close till the end and then something's going
to
happen?
I think it's going to look relatively ugly for a bit.
Yeah.
Do you think your BB bop will be cold by the time you get to the bottom of the bowl?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Do you think you'll be over or under on sauces on your BBB?
Ooh, what's the over? 1.5?
Two and a half. 2.5.
No, then under.
Two sauces.
Two sauces, yes.
Is it like a chipotle sauce or what are you running?
No, we're doing yum yum.
Gongchu and yum yum?
What else?
No, just yum yum.
Oh, so
two different yum yums?
2 cups of yum yum, yes.
Oh, two cups of yum yum. I thought we were doing different types.
I thought you were like low calorie and shit. What is that? Or low, what are you? There's no sugar in that? I don't know what that is.
Yum yum's low sugar.
No way. It's like mayonnaise, right?
Mayonnaise is low sugar.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Keto, baby.
Keto.
So you can eat healthy and be fat.
Obviously.
Perfect.
If you saw my refrigerator, you would be fucking impressed and confused.
We'll talk to you next time.
We did see the little sticker on the refrigerator.